Church, let's remain standing as we enter the time of scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 11:31. Hebrews 11:31 reads, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." This is the word of God. Church, please be seated, and today let's welcome Pastor Lee Kai for today's word.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we have read your word. May you open our heart, keep our heart tender to receive your word so that we can turn to you and follow you. We commit this time onto your hand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we're going to talk about Rahab, the prostitute, her courageous faith. When I was in my primary school, I got one classmate who did quite well in his studies. And because you know that when a student don't do well in his studies, the teacher will mark you. Correct? Those teachers among here, if you've got students who don't do too well in their study, you'll mark them sometimes. And one of my teachers is an Indian teacher. So he said to my classmate, "Whenever I see your face, it makes my blood boil." And my teacher gave my classmate a nickname. He called him, because of his look, very, I won't say chubby, I would say just special. His look, and the teacher just gave him a nickname called Chicken Backside. "Whenever I see your face, I'll see your chicken backside." That's my olden days. I think nowadays teachers are more civilized. Correct? Complain, huh? Gonna complain, huh? So that was my day when the teacher called him Chicken Backside, the rest of the classmate will tease him. And everybody in the class will call him Chicken Backside. And that's what until he graduated from primary school. For I think 2 to 3 years, everybody has been calling him Chicken Backside. It stick to my mind even until now. I'm not sure one day if I see him again. I can't remember his name. I just remember his Chicken Backside. I wonder how would he feel for that many years, even until now. How has that nickname haunted him? Do you have something in the past that stick with you until now? Does your past hurt or shame that you feel that you can't shake them off? Sometimes it can be moral failures that cripple you from your position or strip you from your post. Sometimes you make mistakes in your younger days. You felt that some of the mistakes you made that really scars you until today. You probably got an unglamorous past that you feel shameful even to bring it out. And this is a lady we're going to talk about today. A name that nobody liked to be associated with because of a job. She was never ever proud of herself, because whenever she was mentioned in the Bible, there is a stigma of shame that's being attached to it. She is Rahab the prostitute. I think the title was given to me, Rahab, her courageous faith. But because I see it's always mentioned in the Bible, Rahab, there is a label after the name is the prostitute. That's why I think I add on. I think it's biblical also to add on. I'll explain why later. Why did God keep mentioning prostitute whenever her name is being mentioned? We're going to disclose this at the end of the sermon. But first, before that, we come to the first point, faith that risk, faith that risk. Okay, I think I have a context of the story. We know that Israelite being delivered from Egypt and it was being ready to enter into Jericho. So Joshua, the commander, sent 2 spies into the city of Jericho. And let's read this story together. Okay, 1, 2, 3, verse 9. Rahab said to them, Rahab was speaking to these 2 spies when she encountered them at her home. So if you see, there's something happening even before the spies came to them, that the people of Jericho had heard about God and they have great fear fallen upon them. But if you contrast between the spies and Rahab, both of them fear the name of the Lord, but there are 2 different responses. I believe that they have heard this story probably for 40 years because the Israelites have been in the wilderness and the Lord have delivered them from Egypt. The 10 plagues that the Lord had performed, I think this story spread across and people have heard about these stories and this brings them great fear. But the thing is, they were fearful about this God of Israel and they just remained fearful. They still follow their God. They still did not make a choice to repent or to change. I think it is very true, even to the people today that we relate to. When people heard about God, they heard about the story of even Christians sharing their testimony, how Christians encounter God in their lives, the miracles they experience. They just know God intellectually or even emotionally. They feel a bit touched at the moment, but they did not make a choice to repent or to change and turn to God, to enter a relationship with God. We have probably heard a lot of stories of how God healed people, how God helped someone to change, a drug addict changing his life, but we just remain hearing without a change in our faith. We do not turn away from our idols and put our faith in God. As we look at this story, verse 10 to verse 11, I stated the two words being repeated there. The word heard. Rahab heard about God, and she was not even born, I guess, not even born when the time the Lord dried out the Red Sea. She did not even see the two kings being defeated there. She just simply heard. She just heard about God. And often the time, people always say, seeing is believing. People wanted to see before they believe. And I think you encounter people say, I want to see miracles, I want to see signs and wonders before I can believe in God. If you heal me of these diseases, if you answer me in this prayer, if you appear to me in my dream, then I will believe in you. And you see people flocking to healing rallies, wanting to look for signs and wonders. I'm not against healing rally. I still believe that God heals today. But if our faith just based on miracles, just based on signs and wonders, what will happen one day when God did not answer your prayer according to what you asked for? Will miracles happen every day that you expected? I think when things don't happen the way we want to, miracles, our faith will crumble, just like the wall of Jericho. Because why? Our faith is not built upon the word of God. Let's read this, what the Bible says in Romans 10, 1, 2, 3. Faith comes from hearing. It's not come from seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. It comes from hearing. It comes from the word of God. And last Sunday, we attended the seminars. I think we have been told. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. At that time. This is the context when the disciples asked about Jesus, what will happen at end times? And we are told end times there are a lot of false prophets proclaiming themselves as God. And because of that, they will use great signs and wonders to deceive. You see, signs and wonders cannot be a mark to know that this is from a true God. Even the false prophets can do that. So we have to be careful. Our faith has to be based on God. So we do not flock to any people who just say, oh, there's a miracle there, we just flock there. Because miracles don't happen every day. If not, you won't call that supernatural. It's something that is out of ordinary. So we have to base our faith on the word of God. We have to go back to the word of God. You see, Rahab heard about the work of God. She acted even without seeing. She just simply acted or just stayed in a feeling of fear. As we read the Hebrew chapter 11, the heroes of faith listed there, you always see a description. It started with by faith, then the character, Noah, and what he does later. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, Moses left Egypt. You see, there is always an action that follows after faith. Rahab heard about God. She believed in God and acted on it by just receiving the spies. But the people of Jericho heard about God. They feel fearful and they shut the gate of Jericho and also their hearts. But we see how Rahab heard and acted. This clearly mentioned in James. Let's read James together. 1, 2, 3. Is your faith real? And how to know is our faith real is by looking your life, looking at your life, looking in your action. You see, the faith was made complete by what he did. If your faith is real, your life and your action will show. Rahab got a courageous faith which comes from the faith that acts, not just intellectual knowledge or not just emotional feeling. It is an act of will daily in obedience to what the Lord says. You see, when Rahab heard about God, she put her faith in God by hiding the spies. And this means a tremendous risk for her to take. The second point of this is the faith that risk. Faith that risk. Let's read the story again, verse 2. 1, 2, 3. We are not told how the king of Jericho heard about the spies hiding in Rahab's place. We just knew that the king sent his men to demand for the spies from Rahab. So now if you were Rahab, when you're being knocked at the door, you open the door, you're surprised to see the guard there, and the guards demand you to hand over the spies, what would you do? You do not have the time to sit down and devise a plan. You do not say, okay, let me think about it, how to cook up a story to answer it. You either simply respond to what the guards demand, or you have to risk your life for the spies. And that's what Rahab did. Let's read verse 4 to 6. 1, 2, 3. Now, this part of the story raises many people's eyebrow. And how should we look at Rahab's lie? Is it right to lie for the sake of saving life? And how do we account when the Bible commanded on Rahab, when you put the lie together side by side, how do we look at these two things together? As we look through the scriptures, and we want to see and want to say that the scripture is very clear and careful. When the scriptures commanded her, it's commanded her about her faith. The scripture never commend her for her method. The Bible did not say, oh, let's look at Rahab. You see, of a good moral, of a good character, of a good life. Never. Actually, in fact, Rahab lived in a very evil and wicked culture in the Canaanites. And that was why God wanted to judge and destroy the Canaanites. Rahab was commended only for her faith, for receiving the spies and sending them out in another way. The word of God is very careful not to commend her for her lie. Although God also in a way protected the spy through Rahab's lie, but this does not justify for Rahab to lie. The question to ask, can God protect the spies without Rahab lying? I think definitely. God is powerful enough. So what can we learn from here? When someone did something evil, God has his way to turn it into good. I think this principle is easily illustrated from the story of Joseph. When the brother sold him into slavery, and he turned out to be the prime minister of Egypt and saved many lives from the famine. And let's read that from Genesis 50 together. 1, 2, 3. God may allow or may permit certain means to accomplish his ends, but that does not mean that he approves of the means of those ends, or he does not hold anybody responsible for their moral failure. I think the focus of the story here was Rahab's faith and not about her way of getting through by lying. Therefore, we should be very careful and not to use Rahab's story to justify our life in the name of doing good. Rahab lied when she was asked about where are the spies, and what if the guards do not believe in her lie and insist to do a house search? Definitely, they can find the spies and throw them into jail, and I think the spy will surely die. And not just the spies will be beheaded. Surely, Rahab will not be spared. And I believe the family can be dragged into it. The question is to ask, would it worth the risk for protecting the spies? Would it worth the risk? You know what are the risks that she willing to put on the line? Rahab risked being a traitor to her nation, her own identity as a Canaanite, the familiar environment she'd been growing up with. She risked her security. All her life she'd been in Jericho. Actually, Rahab risked everything simply because she believed who God is. And throughout history, we can see people been risking their life for the sake of their faith because they see God bigger than their life. They see God more important than their life. A story was told of a missionary who went to Iraq, a lady missionary who went to Iraq and was killed by a terrorist attack. And before she packed her luggage and went for mission field, she wrote a letter. Actually, this is a requirement for all missionaries to do that in my organization. Before we left for China to serve, we're supposed to write a will and simply share some detail how would your work be done to carry out. And we have to write all these will letters and submit to our organization just in case anything happened to you, they will do something on your behalf. And that was what she did. Before they go for a mission field, she know the risk serving in Iraq. And at the end, she died. And she told her pastor, if something happened to me, read these letters to my family, to my friends, and also to my church. And in the letter, she wrote this. If something happens and I do not return, there are no regrets, for I am with Jesus. My call is to be obedience. Suffering is expected. His glory is my reward. Very short but very powerful sentence that share her conviction in her faith. You will not put your life on the line unless you see God bigger, more important than your life. The issue is whether are you willing to risk for God if you have never encountered Jesus, if you've never seen him bigger than your life. The Bible says about testing our faith. Let's read this verse together. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 3. This is a command from Paul to the church of Corinthians. He asked them to examine the faith. Not everybody coming to church, they are true Christian. They have to examine their faith. Because why? We can be very self-deluded. We thought that we are real Christian, but we have to examine our faith to see whether we are in the faith. And over here, we see Rahab. She was really immediately tested. Immediately, after just heard about two stories, received the spies, she was tested on the spot there. Her faith was tested while she just protected the spies from the king. So, brothers and sisters, in our Christian life, our faith will be tested through trials to see whether your faith is genuine. Courageous faith flows from a bigger view from God. What we need to do is to have a bigger view on God. That's our final point, talking about the covenantal love of God. The covenantal love of God. I think this whole story, Joshua chapter 2, there are two main characters inside Joshua chapter 2. One of the characters is Rahab. The other character is God. And what do we know about Rahab? I think one thing stand out strongly about Rahab was that she was a prostitute. a job that no one is ever proud of. We're not sure how she ended up as a prostitute. I think, I'm not sure whether when we are all young, have your teacher asked you to write a composition, an aspiration? What will you aspire? What do you want to do when you grow up? Have your teacher asked you to write such a composition before? What would you want to do when you grow up? 你的志向是什么? 当你长大之后,你的志向是什么? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a Chinese teacher. This is what I really aspire to do. But I ended up not a Chinese teacher. I want to be a president of Singapore. Have you heard of any young little girl say, when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute? Have you heard any girl say, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up? No one in their sane mind would ever want that. But the question is to ask, how? What happened to this young little girl when she grew up and she ended up as a prostitute? I think Rahab had her own sad story. It's not being told in the Bible. But we believe that it's never her choice. It's never her choice of life. I think in the ancient day, as a woman, without a man to depend on, Rahab has to find a way to put food on the table because she got a family to feed. So probably that's why she used her body as a tool to support her family. All the men that she met never truly care about how she feel, never ever love her. They just were using her body to satisfy their own needs. Once their lust was quenched, she would be disposed just like a tissue paper. And the man just walked out of her life and disappeared. Probably the rest of the women in Jericho never want to associate with her because they despise her. They even probably tell her children, hey, don't get near to that Rahab prostitute because we are not sure what diseases that she has. So better stay away from her. And that was probably why Rahab lived at the edge of the society, far from the community. You see the map of Jericho? There are two walls there, the upper walls and the lower wall, or the inner wall or the lower walls. The Bible describes in the text that Rahab lived in the outer wall. That means at the outside of the wall, far away from the inner city. If you live in any place you know, the inner part of the city, the housing is most expensive, correct? Shireen, who got a flat at Kallang, I think it's quite expensive. Once you get inner and inner most of the city, the housing estate is more expensive. You want to stay, you want a cheaper one, you stay at Choa Chu Kang, probably my place there, somewhere far, far away. But I think I want to bring out the point. People choose to stay in the inner city. Those people being stayed or being asked to live at the edge of the city, those are the people, probably the socially status, they are not there, or financially, they can't afford. And we are told Rahab's house was built at the outermost city of the wall. You know what happened when enemy attacked the city? She will always be the first one to go. Once again, she can be disposed anytime, just like any man who visited her. She'll be disposed like a tissue paper. And that was the background of Rahab. That's the background of Rahab. And there's another story of a prostitute. I'm not sure whether you guys recall. I think a month ago, we prayed for a Vietnamese lady. Any of y'all recall? And that prayer really, I feel hard to pray on because I was so furious about the father. This Vietnamese lady, when she was young, her father asked her to go to serve as a prostitute, just to pay off her debt. And she came to Singapore to work as a prostitute also. After she got contacted with this Geylang ministry, they shared the gospel to her, she became a believer. She wanted to leave her trade. And when she returned to Vietnam, she wanted to study in a Bible college. But her father still asked her to return to prostitution just to pay off his debt. I'm a father myself. I can't imagine asking my daughter to do that. That's why during the prayer, I can't pray. I feel fuming. I feel angry. I just pray the Lord remove the debt away. And that was how sad the story is. Actually, we do not know each of these prostitutes, how heartbreaking their story is, how they ended up as a prostitute. Each of them have their own sad story. We're going to watch a video. This is a real story also. Also another prostitute. A very sad story that she had, the family she came from, and how she came to Singapore to work as a prostitute, and how she received Christ. And how God healed her from her brokenness and give her a glorious future. We're going to watch this video together.
我是91年出生的，爸妈就我一个孩子，在我小的时候，他们就经常打架，后面吵架，然后后面，他们就离婚了。我就觉得我自己是不重要的，也觉得被他们真的是抛弃的那样。他们离婚之后，我就跟着我的爸爸生活，然后我爸爸把我放在他的朋友亲戚邻居家里面，然后被他们侵犯，所以因为没有父母的陪伴，我就特别的害怕，觉得没有爱，也没有父母的那个关系，这个不是我要的家，我没有家，我要离开。后来就离家出走了，在工厂里面就遇到了一个男的，骗我就强奸了我，然后我就特别的恐惧，就是被逼的这样子的要跟他这样发生关系，但他又承诺说要对我会好的，就答应跟他一起生活，因为没有人跟我说过会对我好，但怀孕了之后我以为就有可以有一个家。但是他说不能够要这个孩子，他不同意，所以我也没有敢再求要这个孩子。就后来他就说有家要有钱，然后就带我骗我去做妓女，但我的心是不愿意去的，但是又想要有一个家，想后面还是选择了去，然后在酒店里面工作，做妓女。在这个过程当中，我才感受到这个世界这么的黑暗，因为在酒店做妓女是很痛苦的，然后看到了里面的人真的像地狱里一样，没有一个觉得心里面是善良的，完全都是为了自己的想法，都是为了赚钱，但实际上我要的不是这样子，我的内心一直得不到满足。因为跟这个男朋友，我跟他生活在一起，我觉得就是随便呢，就这样了，就这样就好了，根本不是我心里面喜欢的。所以就在这个酒店里面工作了一段时间，又遇到了一个男性，然后我见到了他，我觉得我就心里面就有了产生的这样的喜欢，他也答应我要带我离开这样的一个酒店，会给我找一份正经的这样的工作，然后我就觉得他对我很好，然后我就跟他一起离开了这个地方。离开之后，我跟他一起生活，那时候在休息，所以就跟他发生关系，又一次怀孕，然后心里面真的很想要这个，也是想把这个孩子留下来，因为觉得这个是我喜欢的人，然后跟他有这个孩子，有一个家也是很好的，但他是不同意的，所以我又没办法跟孩子有给这个孩子有一个完整的家，也是给我自己有一个完整的家。然后我发现他又吸毒又抽烟，这些都需要钱，他说他没钱了，所以我就再去进入那个酒店做妓女，能够赚点钱，可以这样的生活。然后他也说要承诺给我结婚，能够有一个家，那我就又进去，然后办了签证，到了新加坡，抱着这样的希望，在这个店里面继续做妓女的工作。但后面这个男朋友他跟酒店里一些人是认识的，原来也发现他原来就是之前带一些女孩子去酒店做妓女这样的工作，然后我发现他是利用我，但是我也不愿意去说开说明了，因为我怕失去他所承诺的这个家。 个时候我不知道怎么办了，我说我现在没有钱了，我也没有爸爸妈妈，觉得我也不知道为什么交不到朋友，所以我觉得我很孤独，我觉得我不知道我该怎么办。这个时候唯一的就想到了我的爸爸，然后他信主信耶稣，然后我就打电话给他，爸爸说你去看看你的附近有没有教堂。 那当时我的脑袋里面就想着有没有教堂可以让我去的，然后我就想到了志宏姐。
我叫 Debbie， 我在亚龙施工服事。当初甜甜实际上并没有主动来跟我们打招呼，我是真正是他们店里的其他的女孩子。后来甜甜她觉得很沮丧的时候呢，她是通过其他的女孩子来找到我，说她愿意跟我来教会。那么我就带她来救主堂的这个华文部，在那个当中呢，她自己就本身有很多的灵受了。甜甜是其中的一个呢，她终于她就下定一个决心，她说他希望能认识多一点神的话语。就是在亚龙我们有一个教会是跟爱家杯一起合作的，所以每天十点他到爱家杯，我们知道那个对他来讲是很大的一个增长。不过非常奇妙的是甜甜每天都来，所以到一个时期呢，甜甜他终于自己说他觉得他主教他要离开亚龙的生活。
志宏姐带我去教堂之后呢，然后他们就跟我上一些这样的一些课程，就是让我更多的认识主耶稣，而且我也是越上觉得越喜欢。直到有一天那时候就看到雅各书四章，他说你们这淫乱的人，岂不知与世俗为友就是与神为敌吗？那句话就深深的在我心里面就感受到被上帝光照了。我现在的这个处境是在做妓女，是他不喜悦的，我这样在这里做是与他为敌的。所以我又知道上帝他这么的爱我，所以我看到我不能再这样子与神为敌了，就选择离开红灯区这个地方，回到了中国。在中国有十多天的时间吧，那个时候在等候上帝带领我下一步怎么办，因为我也知道我没有技术，我也不会做生意或者是其他的，也又交不到朋友，有这些担忧。上帝就借着志宏姐帮我联系到一个圣经的学校，他们愿意收留我，就是上帝奇妙的这样的开启了这扇门，让我在这个圣经学校呢学习了有几个月的时间让我真正的从他的话里面认识他，也从那些同学还有老师相处，让我真的经历到上帝的爱，也真的经历到他是信实的。有一次我得到一张卡片，是他们之前花了三个多月的时间来祷告出来的这个卡片，刚好那天他上课，然后就给拿出来就让我们抽，然后我抽之前我就先祷告了，我说天父你要给我什么话。抽到那张卡片让我很意外，因为我读第一句话的时候他说我亲爱的孩子，你常说你没有家，然后我读了这里我就哭了，我说上帝知道我想要有个家，然后他说我寻找你已经寻找很久了，原来他一直知道我存在的，然后他又说我是你的牧者，我要领你回到我的家，进入我的国，我这里有青草地溪水边，你只要让你的门心门打开，让人们的爱去拥抱你，他说我必重建你，我要塑造你。我就听到这些话，然后我真的是亲眼看到这个卡片，当时的心情就特别的激动，就觉得上帝啊，你知道我的内心所想的，原来这么多年我寻找的家原来你都知道，原来又看到上帝他已经寻找我很久了，他也在等候我，所以我终于回到天父的家里面。
past, a very dark past. But we see after she received Christ, God said, I will restore you. I will mold you. I believe likewise today God is speaking to you. No matter how dark or how shameful your past was, God wants to restore you. He wants to mold you into his likeness, which is glorious and beautiful. We mentioned that there are two characters in Joshua chapter 2. One of these characters is Rahab. The other character is God. Let's read this verse together, Joshua chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. 1, 2, 3. The word kindness in Hebrew is the word hesed. It's being explained with many words to describe it because it is so rich that it cannot be contained within a concept. The word to describe is mercy, compassion, love, kindness, grace, faithfulness. It's not just about that. It also talks about a covenantal, a promise-keeping God, a God who is willing to keep his promise even to the point of death. And that was what the spies told Rahab. What did the spies say? Our lives for your lives. Do you know who is speaking here? These are the Israelites. These are the people God has chosen. These are the people that God loves. How are they willing to die for the life of a prostitute, a woman being despised in Jericho? A woman is going to be destroyed by God soon. How are they willing to pay for that? I think this is a shadow of how Jesus, or what Jesus promised us in the Bible, that his life for our life. You have an unglamorous past, you have a difficult past, but I say, I'm willing to die for you, for your sin, for your darkness. I think at the end of this sermon, I want to close with a question I keep pondering about. I do not understand why whenever the Bible mentions about Rahab, it always brings the tag there with the prostitute. Is God unforgiving? Is God keep digging out our past to nail us down? Because as you read in Joshua 2, 6, Hebrew 11, and James 2, whenever you see the name Rahab, you see the word beside Rahab is the prostitute. Why is it so? Even in Hebrew chapter 11, whenever the hero of faith is being mentioned, you see that when you talk about Abraham the liar, Moses, the murderer, Noah, the drunkard. No, never mention about all these men, their failure in life. But when it comes to Rahab, in verse 31, Hebrew 11, why? When it comes to a lady, they use the word prostitute to describe her. And why not about Moses? He's a murderer, worse than a prostitute. Why is God discriminating women over here? I don't think so. But why did God keep tagging on this stigma with her whenever she was mentioned in the Bible? I think God wants us to learn a lesson over here. That this was a woman, a Canaanite woman whom God was about to destroy. But out of his hesed, he sought her out through the spies. And this woman got a shameful past. But God can give her a new future when she put her trust in God. So no matter, I think the lesson is, no matter how wretched your past can be, no matter how dark your past was, and no matter how shameful that you do not want to bring it up again, God can use your dark, wretched, and shameful past into his glorious purpose. You know what? I think we all read about the Bible. Rahab appeared in the genealogy of Jesus, the lifeline of a Savior. Would you ever want to bring out ever, when if you got a genealogy in your family, my great-great-grandmother is a prostitute? Would you want to bring that out? I don't think I want to. I feel shameful. I want to just clean her name away. Do not want her under the family of Chua. I don't mention my great grandma if she's ever a prostitute. I do not want to mention. But we see that everywhere in the Bible mentioned about Rahab being a prostitute, but in the genealogy of Jesus, Rahab appeared there. She's even not the Israelites. I think the bottom line God wants to bring us, no matter what mistake you have made in your life, or even you're in a terrible mess, you feel so shameful to talk about your past. The covenantal love of God, the covenantal chesed of God is unchanging. God loves you as who you are. So I believe the word prostitute being put in, it has its purpose to remind how wretched the person be and God willing to die for her. Then more so for you. I'm going to invite the worship team out. I want to spend a few moments to ponder about this. Because each of us has our past we feel shameful to talk about. Each of us has a past we feel so dark, we do not want to even to revisit them again. I think today, God is going to use our shame to glorify Him. Because why? The love of God is more than your sin, than your shame in your life. And we want to recognize how wretched we are to receive the wonderful love of God. And therefore, we can magnify God and glorify God for His wondrous love for such a wretched man we are. We're going to sing this song, Amazing Love, which is so common to us. We want to ponder about the lyrics of this song as we sing and rest in response to Him. Amazing love, amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Friends, sisters, let us rise up to our feet.